Message this morning. Want to first of all say a word of thanks to Mark Rhett and the missions team as they have planned our missions festival and done a lot of work. We want to thank Pastor Terry as well, as he has done a great deal of work in getting our speakers lined up, and just appreciate that. Our focus this missions festival is keeping in touch with missions, and so want to encourage you today just to get in touch with one of our missions, if it's with one of our missionaries, if it's emailing them or calling them, touching base with them. A lot of things going on in their lives. Want to let you know as well that in May, we have a team of some of our workers here at church going out to Utah to build a deck for Josh and Rebecca Miller. And we were there a couple of years ago and just saw as they were planting the church there in Mormonland, just to see a great work that they're doing in this church. And they just need a little more space, especially when it's warm, to go out onto the deck. Imagine trying to meet together in a house with kids running all over the place. And so we have a great opportunity to help them out with their church there. And so be in prayer for that team. We'll give you more details as to who's on it and so on in days to come. But want to just thank you for praying for them. Also, we want to thank those who are in our overflow. We have been working on this for about a month now, and we appreciate all of you back there. We've just asked voluntarily. What we've got going here at Jamestown is we're filling the auditorium to about 80%, and we know that can be kind of a defining mark, and so we're trying to get it to see if we can get some folks back in the overflow and free it up for newcomers, and so we're thankful for all of you involved with that. Okay, at this time, we want to dismiss second through fifth graders to go with Mrs. Worth, Mrs. DeYoung, and going to watch a video, The Wild Brothers, down in, I think it's Papua New Guinea. Great video series, and so you can just head out some of the back doors there, some of the side doors. We also invite sixth graders, if you would like, as well, can join in for that. And so that'll be a great time during this worship hour. All right, our speaker this morning is Rick Cross. He serves with Frontline Missions, and it's been good to just get to know him a little bit this morning. He's from Colorado, or at least spent about 10 years in Colorado, and that's near and dear to my heart, and so we talked a little bit about some places out there, and has spent some time in some favorite places of mine, Montrose, Colorado, and just great to get connected with Dr. Cross. And so he served as a youth pastor at Faith Baptist Church in Longmont, Colorado from 1987 to 1997. Then he served as pastor of Faith Baptist Church from 97 until December of 2013. And he transitioned into missions. And I find it interesting. A lot of times pastors do that. As they get involved in the work of the ministry, they get connected in one way or another with a mission. And he served as director of development of Frontline Missions International. Frontline focuses on advancing the gospel in difficult places to reach, restricted access countries. And so I know that he's got a lot of experience with that, and really can equip people to go places where many cannot. And he continues to represent Frontline Missions, but now has joined pastoral staff at Suber Road Baptist Church in Greer, South Carolina, as pastor of discipleship and missions. He's married to Donna. They have four children and two grandchildren. Sounds excited about that. Mm-hmm. And he enjoys family, church ministry, reading, technology, and just equipping people to advance the gospel. So, Dr. Cross, would you come at this mm-hmm. time? So thankful for you being with us.
There can be a video.
Pardon me?
Is there a video, or is that?
Do we have a video back there, guys?
Oh, no. I thought you said there was going to be a video.
No, we're good.
Oh, okay.
We're good.
Okay, I'm not trying to...
That was at the beginning of the service, actually.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not trying to run myself out of time. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. For some reason, I had in my head that there was going to be something else in advance of this. So I want to thank you for your singing. It's just one of those things that I'm in a lot of churches, and I can't always thank him for their singing. So the spirit of the warmth of the welcome, as well as the singing, is just a great testimony to the depth of a congregation. And often you can tell how vibrant a congregation is by how you're welcomed and then by the singing. So thank you very much for that. I mentioned two grandchildren. We have two, but we have two on the way, and two girls. But maybe six on the way, and we don't know yet. So, and it has nothing to do with the physiology of pregnancy, but I have a daughter in Denver, daughter and son-in-law in Denver. She is pregnant, but they also wanted to adopt, and they're on the list to adopt siblings. Could be two, not siblings, but it could be two adoptions from the same hospital. And I'm not sure exactly how all this worked, but evidently if you get pregnant, then you are bumped off the adoption list. But it's such an opportunity, I guess, that they asked to stay on the adoption list. So it's possible that she could deliver and adopt two others on the same day. So they may go from two to five in one day. So we'll see how that goes. They may need grandma really quickly. As a result of that, but we'll see. In your Bibles, would you take your scriptures this morning and go to the book of Ephesians, and the sixth chapter in the book of Ephesians. Frontline missions, you'll hear more about this evening. Frontline missions, as your pastor mentioned, is a missions specific to restricted access countries. So, Indonesia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Ukraine, China, Bangladesh. We're really Americans can't go unless you have a business reason to be there. They would say you're okay for a tourist, and then after a few weeks of being a tourist, you have to go home. We want to be able to keep Christians there, or we want to be able to mobilize nationals there. And so you'll hear more about this. It's along the lines of what we have come to know in this country as entrepreneurial way of doing things. So we've started a coffee shop in Bangladesh and a poultry farm in Ethiopia and bookstores in China. It is now legal to have a Christian bookstore in some parts of China, which is really unusual given the oppression in China. But in order for it to be legal, now the books have to be published in China. If they're published in the West or outside of China, they're illegal. But if they're published in China and they get the tax revenue from it, then it's legal. So you have to follow the courses of business in order to have a gospel witness. And if you want to have your thoughts stirred out of the box regarding missions, then allow me to do that in your heart, and God to do that in your heart tonight. We'll show a very brief video at the end of the presentation this evening that will, I think, be a great way of propelling you forward in your missions program and allowing us to see what God is doing in some very difficult places. But Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it may not look exactly the way we think it's going to look, but it's going to look exactly the way he designed it. And we're a part of that, and we could all be a part of that. So we'll talk more about that. On the table in the lobby are some things regarding frontline missions. I understand frontline missions is not foreign to you. Several have said it already, having been on the mailing list. There is a sign-up for our mailing list in the back. That will get you a monthly email. We don't bombard you, but a monthly email that will let you know how you can pray for persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. And then a quarterly newsletter that will let you know how you can be participating and what's going on globally regarding the advance of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in difficult areas. There's also the videos I think some of you have seen. There are 1 through 8 are on the table. 9 went to publishers this week, and it'll be coming out very quickly again, and that'll be on Cambodia. So there's lots to look at back there. If you want, as a youth pastor, I used to tell the parents, you get what you honor. And I'm not against sports. I'm not an athlete, but if you want an athlete, it's good to honor athletics. If you want a scholar, maybe you honor academics. If you want a missionary, if you want gospel advance, then you honor gospel advance. And one of the ways that you can do that is through media, especially in our video culture. And so we want to put tools in your hands for doing that. Normally those DVDs are $15, but today they can be had for $10 each. And there's a book out there as well that's kind of a a chronicle of what God is doing in this world in restricted access missions. I trust you'll be able to enjoy those today. I'm going to keep my eye on the clock. I've asked when I'm supposed to be done, and I was given a time roughly 10:40 to 10:45, and look at your pastor, he's shaking his head, and I assume that's today and not tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you, how many of you know who Elizabeth Taylor is? Actress Elizabeth Taylor. Let me see your hands. Okay. Sometimes that's a little bit of a generational thing. I'm going to tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told her last husband. Don't worry, I won't keep you long. And so this morning, yeah, you may think we're getting, that took a little bit. Tough crowd this morning. Well, you may see all that we're going to get into this morning, and I want to let you know we're going to end on time, but it's going to be my responsibility to put a lot in your wheelbarrow. So you have a lot to carry away this morning. So this morning we're going to talk about a topic, but in the hour following the service this morning, we're going to talk about a passage. And that passage is Acts chapter 13, and it talks about what kind of culture the Church of Antioch had to be a missionary sending church. I'm fascinated, and I have no idea how this has played out here at your church here, but I'm fascinated, as I'm in churches all over the country, how many churches have never sent their own people into missions work. I've been in large churches that have never sent a missionary. I've been in some very small churches that have sent lots. And so there are some things we can learn from the Church of Antioch about how we can be involved as being a gospel missionary sending institution. And trust that'll be the case. And then tonight we'll look at frontline missions. So Ephesians chapter 6, and in a few moments I'm going to start with verse 10. We'll probably start verse 12. And then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 10. So if you want to be looking in the Old Testament for Daniel chapter 10, then we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. And hope that through those three passages, I'm able to show you some things that would be a great help to you. We're going to go past Luke chapter 2. We're going to end up in the book of Acts. But we're going to traverse a lot of territory this morning. And my heart I appreciate the way you have your missions emphasis and the way you have things structured here. I lack of a better way of saying this, in that I have one day with you, I want to put a pebble in your shoe. I want to give you something to think about. I don't know if you've ever been on a beach or a dirt road, and you're walking down the road and a pebble works its way into your shoe, and you try to ignore it, and you're maybe not sure exactly when you want to stop, but at some point you have to deal with it. You have to stop, and you have to take the shoe off and get the pebble out. If this is a pebble in your shoe, then we've been successful this morning. And this pebble is going to have to do with the matter of God's people praying together. I'm not going to talk this morning about individual praying. I trust that you are praying as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, individually praying to the Lord. But there is something special that the New Testament identifies as even a separate element of influence that a congregation or even two people can have in the area of missions and the area of advancing the gospel, both in Hudsonville and in Yakasaki somewhere. I don't even know if there's a Yakasaki, but it's wherever that is. Across the ocean and at home as well, the matter of God's people praying together. But our adversary, the devil, would like to confuse us in this area. My wife was raised in Michigan. She was raised in the Thumb area of Michigan, outside of Port Huron. And her dad pastored a church there for 41 years. And her little town of Croswell, Michigan, had one traffic light. May still have one traffic light. I haven't been back in a few years. But they also, talking about a generational thing, they also had a store a long time ago that was what we know today as a dollar store. Then it was a 5 and 10 store, a 5 and dime store. And that store had a name. And that was called a Ben Franklin store. Okay, I see a lot of heads doing this. I don't think you're sleeping yet, but that is an affirmation of of Ben Franklin. So, a few years ago, and we found this article when we were moving from Colorado to South Carolina a couple of years ago. That Ben Franklin store had a group of junior hires that broke in on a Sunday night into the store, and they, in their vandalism, they changed price tags on things. So they took the high-dollar television and put on it the low-dollar box of Kleenex facial tissues, and they swapped those so that on Monday morning, when the owners came in, they found Kleenexes that were the price of televisions, and televisions of the price of Kleenexes. And so the newspaper came and wrote an article about this, and we read through it, and as I was reading through that, I thought, isn't that what our adversary, the devil, would like to do with us? He would like to get our view of the things that God puts high priority on and make it low priority. And the things that we value, that God values maybe as low priority, sometimes we bring them way up high and sometimes split churches over those things. And I'd like for us to understand that God puts a high priority on God's people praying together. But before we see that, there's something, if I can plant something in your head that will stay with you for a long time. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says this, for we do not, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So you would know from this familiar text that we are in a warfare. A.W. Tozer says, this is not a playground, this is a battleground. We are in a warfare, but our warfare is not in the dimension that we can see. Our warfare is in the dimension that we can't see. And because we're such a visual culture, we often downplay a dimension we can't see. We know where we live, and we know our neighbors, and we know our church members because we can see them. But according to this scripture, there is another dimension all around us. And that dimension is a dimension that we can't see. But it's in that dimension that we do battle. And so with that in mind, I'm going to come back to the book of Ephesians, so don't lose your place there. In your Bibles, could you go to the book of Daniel? And the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. This is the prophet Daniel as he is praying and the Lord is answering his prayer. The Lord, in answering his prayer, sends a messenger from heaven with the answer to Daniel. And Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12 picks this up. Then he, the messenger, said to me, Daniel, and these are the words from the Lord, and the words that the messenger carried. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. I love that, because that tells me when I pray, God hears. Even from the very beginning of the time that I pray, he hears. We'll continue. And I have come because of your words. Verse 13. The prince... This is the words of the messenger. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, we know that to be the demonic host, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Now this is a little bit of an awkward text, but here's the gist of it. Daniel prays, the Lord sends the answer with a messenger from the Lord. The messenger tells Daniel, it took me 21 days to get from God to you. Now, I've always thought angels could move in lightning speed. And they can. But not in Daniel chapter 10, evidently. It took the messenger of the Lord 21 days to get from God to Daniel. But there's another element here that parallels Ephesians chapter 6. And that is, it took the dispatching of Michael from the throne of God to assist the messenger to get to Daniel. And if you study your Bibles, you're going to find that Michael is referred to often in the scripture as a warrior angel. So it took a warrior angel to assist the messenger of Satan, and they had to battle 21 days to get to Daniel. So if we can summarize these things from Daniel chapter 10, at least we know from Ephesians 6 that we battle in a dimension we can't see. In Daniel 10, the battle was so fierce in that dimension that it took warrior angel Michael and messenger of the Lord 21 days to get through that tension, that battle. So the battle in the dimension we can't see must be severely intense. Now, Luke chapter 2. I'll not take a long time to read this because we're very familiar with Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas narrative. So December comes and you have children up here maybe, and maybe this was a barn, a nativity scene. And you hear this text written and read. And so I'm not going to read the whole text, but you'll catch on with the direction we're going here momentarily. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And we're going to skip around a little bit. Scripture says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them." Imagine what that would have looked like. "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them." I'll guarantee you if that happened right now, we would all be on our faces. "And they were filled with great fear." Verse 13. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So keep in mind, dimension we can't see, in which we do battle, fierceness even of the battle of Daniel chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 2, God gives us the eyeballs of a couple of shepherds that we can actually understand a little bit more. Evidently, God, on this Judean hillside, allowed the shepherds, I'll back up. No windows in this building, much like the church I pastored in Colorado. But many homes would have windows with Venetian blinds on them. You can pull them up or you can swivel those things where you can look out. It's almost as if God pulled the blinds of the atmosphere up to where it went from a dimension we can't see, the atmosphere rolled up, and those shepherds could then see into that dimension that we can't normally see, and what they saw was angelic activity. And the angels were singing glory to God, and the tense of the verb there has to do with the fact that they had been singing it. They didn't start when the blinds went up. They had been singing it. They were singing it. And when the blinds come down, they're going to continue to sing it. Now, we can't hear them sing. But ladies and gentlemen, there is an entire dimension that has angelic activity in it that we have an impact in as Christians. Now, with that, please, if you would go to... I'm going to skip a little bit just for a lack of time here. If you would, go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And you don't need to know I'm skipping things. I'm not sure why I said that. You won't know the difference. But there are some parallel passages to angelic beings and spiritual warfare. And Luke chapter 11 will actually bring us back to a passage of Scripture that I want to leave in your hearts this morning. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And then in verses 2 through 4, we have what we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, or model prayer. Now, we're not going to take time to look at this, but I want to submit to you something that it's almost an assumption that we're going to be praying together. Because this prayer says, our Father and not my Father. And there are many personal pronouns, many third-person pronouns that would go on as we give us this day our daily bread. So that it appears that in the model prayer, God assumes that we're going to be praying together and not just on our own. But verse 5. "And he said to them," so this is an application of the prayer, "he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him, because he is his friend," in other words, friendship's not going to win the day. What wins the day? "Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." So here's the passage. Man is in bed with his children. This is a Middle Eastern heritage and tradition, to where sometimes the parents would lay on the floor on a mat. The children would often lay perpendicular to the parents in the same room. So the children were with him in bed. Somebody has a visitor. They don't have food. They come to the man with the food, knock on the door, and the man says, "Go away. Knock, knock, knock. Go away. Knock, knock, knock. Go away." You know, they didn't have windows and PA systems. So I don't know how close they were to each other, and the man knocking and the man in bed. Probably pretty close. Yet, because of the person's persistence, over and over and over, the man throws back the bed covering and says, "Come in and take whatever you want. Just go away." Now, that text, as a pastor, bugged me for a long time. And there are pastors that get bugged by Bible texts, because I couldn't understand it. I thought, does my God need to be pestered to answer prayer? Can I somehow manipulate God by my oft asking? But that's not the point of the text. The point of the text is, as we combine all these things from Ephesians chapter 6 and Daniel chapter 10 and Luke chapter 2, spiritual warfare takes time. And in this Luke chapter 11 passage, the time is referenced as persistence. So it's not nagging, it's effort. And ladies and gentlemen, there are probably some folks right now that have just turned me off, because as Americans, we don't like to take time in doing anything. We want microwave popcorn. We want heated up coffee. We want drive-through McDonald's. We want it now. Just read an article a couple weeks ago. McDonald's, this has nothing to do with our text this morning. McDonald's now feeds 10% of the world's population every day. It's incredible. Most of that is breakfast, and most of that is at the drive-thru. We want everything now, and we don't like to wait. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work on our timetable. God doesn't heal when we want him to heal. God doesn't save when we want him to save, unless we're calling on him, then he saves. And I'm going to recommend to you this morning that we have to have, if we're going to have, what does it take to advance missions? What does it take to advance the gospel in this area? What does it take for your missionaries to understand the fuel to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is it that's going to help them propel the gospel? I recommend to you that it will be you folks praying, asking the Lord to advance the gospel. And though the prayer for the offering was an incredible prayer and a beautiful prayer, and I thank you for taking time and not just saying, "Lord, bless the gift and the giver and go our way," we actually prayed, and it was a lengthy prayer, and it was a heartfelt prayer. I recommend to you that there ought to be multiple times of prayer, and people praying in the lobby, and people praying in classrooms, and every way that you can get God's people praying together for even lengthy periods of time. Spiritual warfare in the dimension we can't see advances the gospel. Now, with that, if you will, go back. Go to Acts chapter 2, if you will. Acts chapter 2. If we were to go back into Ephesians chapter 6, you would see that as a result of the spiritual warfare that's described in Ephesians 6, we are to take on the full armor of God, and then we are to be praying. And Paul specifically analyzes what it takes to advance the gospel, and that is to pray together. And that text in Ephesians chapter 6 has a parallel text in the book of Acts. And that, don't go there yet, that's Acts chapter 4. But in order to get to understand Acts chapter 4, we have to understand Acts chapter 2. So Acts chapter 2, please, in your scriptures. Acts chapter 2 is a fascinating text. And this is often the text that pastors use in describing what the church ought to do and what the church ought to look like. Look at this, Acts chapter 2. And by the way, I'm going to make one more comment. The gentleman that prayed, and I didn't see who it was that prayed, the gentleman prayed thanking the Lord for the offering, thanking the Lord that we could meet here without persecution. We ought to thank the Lord for that on a regular basis, because it's very possible that persecution is coming to our land rapidly. I was in Ukraine a few months ago, and one of the things that they said in the Crimea area where the Russians have invaded, and we were meeting with pastors, was there were two things in the under Soviet oppression days that the oppressors couldn't take from us. One is God's word hidden from our hearts, and number two is the ability for Christians to pray together. I do believe the Lord is stirring hearts in the area of God's people praying together, and I have a nationwide perspective because it's fun just to watch what the Lord is doing in that area, and my personal thought is that the Lord is preparing his church for days of oppression coming. And for the most part, American churches don't pray together. They just don't. They have a lot of entertainment, and they have sometimes a lot of preaching, but very little prayer. And God is stirring the heart of people to know more about what it means to pray together. I was in a church outside of Philadelphia a few months ago now, and after I preached, and I preached a little bit of what I'll say tonight, I preached in the area of what it means to take risks for the gospel in times of oppression. And a man came to me after the service, and he said, I want to let you know. He said, I can't take long, but I want you to know that I work for the Pentagon. And I thought he was kidding, because he didn't look like a military man. He actually looked pretty slovenly. And so sometimes you don't know if he's serious or not. But he said, over the last couple of weeks, we've had some high-level meetings at the Pentagon, and we've been discussing a couple of things, and you need to know a couple of things. Number one, he said, and this has nothing to do either, but our nation is on the verge of a financial collapse. Number two, he said, the Pentagon is now crafting language that is hostile, specific new words that are hostile to evangelical Christians. And then he specifically mentioned American Family Association, and I don't know a whole lot about the AFA, but he said those were kind of the focus of their attacks. He said, I'm a believer, and I'm sitting in these meetings, and I'm not understanding now. Our government, specifically the military, believes that Christians are in the way of social progress. And they're crafting language now that they will employ down the road that they're not even employing now. They know something's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have our heads buried in the sand and think that this land is a friend of grace and that we will never know hostility as we advance the gospel, we've got another thing coming. We need to be ready. And one of the ways that we need to be ready is learning to pray together. And so the book of Acts was a book of oppression. And yet the book of Acts is filled with God's people praying together. So Acts chapter 2 says this, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So this is post-Pentecost, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and we would refer to that as group teaching today, fellowship, that was basically what we've done this morning, group worship. In the breaking of bread, we would understand that today as small group discipleship, if you will, even with the Lord's table present, and in prayers. And if we follow the symmetry of the text, that's not individual prayers. It would be group worship, group teaching, group discipleship, group praying. And one of the things that happened as a result of God's people praying together is verse 13, fear came upon every soul, that's inside the church and out. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Verse 46, so continuing daily in one accord with the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And look what, at least in this text, God's people praying together did. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. The dimension that we can't see has in it a battle going on that we affect by our praying together. And the result of our battle praying is the advance of the gospel. It is God adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Now with that, now, let's conclude with Acts chapter 4. We could go to Acts chapter 6 where the deacons were chosen. Prayer is listed as one of the pastoral responsibilities. But Acts chapter 4 is the text that we'll conclude with this morning. This is one of the most dramatic passages in all the New Testament, and you'll see why in just a few moments. Verse 23 of Acts chapter 4 says this, and this is Peter and John had been in prison for preaching the gospel. They were let go, and I'd love to have you identify what the very first thing they did was when they were let go and they gathered together. Being let go, verse 23, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. They prayed together with one accord and said, and then we have a record of their prayer. It's a great model for prayer. The wants are very at the end. The adoration is at the beginning. But look at verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now please get this. This is beautiful. The Bible talks about the fact that in this dimension we can't see, there is warfare. It's affected by our praying together. This is, in the visual dimension, this is the beginning of the church. This is spiritual warfare in the dimension we can see. We're told here that as they were praying, the place was shaken. We're not certain exactly what that means. Earthquakes were recorded during those days. There was not a local earthquake reported. Here is a little Rick Cross speculation. It may not be true. It may be true. Could it be that the dimension we can't see was so intense in warfare, and that at the beginning onset of the church, the dimension that we can see warfare was so fierce that somehow those two dimensions were so intense that somehow they touched? And as they touched, as God's people were praying, the warfare going on in both dimensions was so incredibly intense that there was a touching and there was a shaking. A little homework this afternoon, this is not the only time there was a shaking. Later in the book of Acts, there was a prison occurrence during prayer that there was a shaking. There is something of impact to God's people praying together. But then we have a little more of an intensity. And that is at the conclusion of this verse, verse 31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, these men had already been in prison. Yes, the definition for boldness could be courage. They spoke the word of God with courage. Even in their prayer, they asked for boldness. Could be. Some of you will know the name Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards is a missionary in Utah. But there's also a 17th century Jonathan Edwards who was a Puritan. He is most famous for his sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Jonathan Edwards was credited for being the preacher who ushered in one of the great awakenings of our country. Jonathan Edwards said this. Jonathan Edwards looked at all the times the word boldness was used in the New Testament. He identified that every time it's mentioned in conjunction with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said this about this text in Acts chapter 4. Could it be that as God's people pray together, that the Holy Spirit of God takes the word of God that's proclaimed by the preacher of God, could be a coffee shop, could be a Sunday school class, by the proclaimer of truth, if you will, the preacher of God, and carries it to the heart of those who need it to hear from God. It is Holy Spirit activity that is far more powerful than anything any man could ever do. You're sitting here today and you've never known Jesus. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Everybody in this room that knows Jesus wants you to know Jesus. Everybody in this room says, I hope they can come from the darkness to the light, from the kingdom of, of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear light. We would love to see that happen. One of the ways to advance the gospel at Jamestown Baptist Church is for God's people to pray together, and God responds by miraculous working of the Holy Spirit to impact people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you are having your missions conference, and as you see the list of your missionaries, one of the greatest things you can do is gather together in small groups or large groups and pray for your missionaries. They may not know it, but as they are opening the scriptures in Yakasaki, okay, same, I'll use that word twice today, you hear from people saying, I had an unusual freedom in presenting the truth. Could it be that that's parallel to God's people praying, and the battle is going on in the dimension we can't see, it affects the dimension we can see, and the gospel is advanced. It's an incredible tool to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is why Andrew Murray said this, devotional writer Andrew Murray, the one who mobilizes the Christian church to pray will make the greatest contribution to world evangelism in history. Wow. Our price tags have been changed. Because for the most part, and I have absolutely no idea if you even have a prayer meeting or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Tuesday night service, but in many churches, if you announce we're going to have a prayer meeting, that is the least attended service of the week. Now, I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you. I'm a pastor, and I know a busy schedule, and I understand our culture is changing, but I'm going to encourage you, when you do pray, it is huge. And may we see this in Scripture, and may we gather with believers and pray and advance the gospel. There's a man that, again, you'd probably understand, the man's name is R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey is a preacher of years ago. He often would enact other preachers and politicians and popular figures, and he would speak as if he were them. And in political arenas, he would talk as if he were a politician. And at one point, he was talking as if he were the devil. And he said this, and he's putting the words of the devil in his mouth. The devil said, you may have your brilliant university-bred preachers, your high-priced choirs, your gifted sopranos and altos and tenors and basses, your wonderful quartets, your immense men's Bible classes. So he's going through all the things that is normal to a church, and your Bible conferences and your Bible institutes and your special evangelistic services and all you please of them. It does not in the least trouble me if you will only leave out of them the power of the Lord God Almighty, sought and obtained by the earnest, persistent, believing prayer that will not take no for an answer. And then R.A. Torrey, in his words, says this, when the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, okay, there's a difference. My words, Torrey's words, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church or community is at an end. May God use the prayers of Jamestown Baptist Church to fuel missions activity and fuel gospel activity at home and abroad. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it all fits together. Thank you for the picture we have through your word of a dimension we can't see, ongoing battle that's affected by how we pray together and by ourselves. And we'd ask that we would not buy the lie of the devil that our praying together is ineffective. For if we understand your word, it is highly effective and highly explosive in the battle for souls. And we'd ask that you would use our prayers, even right now, if there's someone in this building or under the sound of my voice that has never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. May they see their hopeless and helpless condition in their sin, and knowing that they can't save themselves from their own sin, but that Jesus came to pay the price of their sin. And as they put their trust in Christ, he delivers them from their sin, adopts them into his family, robes them with his righteousness. Father, we pray for that. for those who may be here without Christ. Use your word in our hearts this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.